You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. So excited you decided to join us. Before we jump in today, I want to make sure I give a shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Their customer service is, and again, this is from a Midwestern boy, their customer service is second to none. Whenever I've had any problems with one of my three machines, they've always been able to help us. So go over and check out Dr. Dish. Mention Coach Unplugged, Teach Hoops, any of our podcasts, Coach Collins, and they'll give you $400 off. You won't find a better discount out there. They will take really good care of you. And make sure you tell them I sent you. And then also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It is the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. We are the only ones out there that offer 14-day free trial because we believe in our product so much that we want you to come and kick the tires. We want you to take it for a test drive. Nowhere else are you going to find a high school coach who's also coaching. I just got off a phone call with a teachhoops.com member. So who else has my cell phone number and calls me and talks to me about things that he has questions on with his team? Where else are you going to find that on the web? Go over and check it out. Like I've said before, it helps us keep the lights on in these podcasts and our YouTube and everything else free. So go over and check it out. And oh, one more thing. I forgot. I was going to say, let's head off. Go leave a review. We love those reviews. We read every one of them. Go leave those 5-star reviews. And let's head off to the podcast.
So you're thinking of doing 2-2-1.
Stay with the 2-2-1. So our normal 2-2-1 is more like a slow press. You know, then pass it back and forth, then trap, even once they get to half court, something like that.
Okay.
But I was wanting to do a different version set up in the 2-2-1 press, same, but have a different call for it. And when the first pass comes in to the sideline is to jump that hard and then close to all three passing lanes.
Yeah, you could do that. I mean, you can change. You can definitely change. I mean, one of the easier ways to do presses is to just do changes as far as like, yeah, when you're going to trap, how often you're going to trap. Maybe you're going to trap on the third pass. Maybe you're going to trap on the dribble. So I think that's good because the 2-2-1 will slow people down. But then if you want to be more aggressive with it, yes, you could do it the first time it's outside, like we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, outside those volleyball lines and then come at them. I think that'd be really effective.
Okay, because our normal 2-2-1 is back into the 2-3, but this would be just a different, trap hard and then just switch to man.
Because then once – so that what you have to figure out, though, is once you're trapping on that sideline – who's staying and who's leaving when they get out of it kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, that was my one follow-up question to that is from our discussions that you're saying, once you get a good trap, you're trying to stop all three
passing lanes. But if they get it out of the passing lanes, then usually I have the trap, the guy that was there stays and the trapper goes, finds the next open man basically.
Got, Gotcha.
Yeah. So I usually make a hard, I usually make a hard, fast rule for that double. Like the guy that doubles is the one that's leaving, and the one that stays is the one that stays is the one that is the guy that was already guarding it. Does that make sense?
Gotcha. My question would be to, and it's pretty simple, that if they're past half court, you close all three lanes and then you just rotate.
Yeah, and if I'm doing it too, once they get it past half court, then I'll usually, hey, Jake, I muted you just because I'm getting some feedback. So you can unmute yourself if you have something to say. Once they get it out of that trap past half court, then we're done. I don't tend to, you know, maybe we'll do a different kind of trap once we get to half court. But, yeah, once, you know, we're trying to, again, trap in those top corners on the half court. And then, like we were drawing up a couple weeks ago. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, I guess my question was this. Say we get the ball into the corner, full court press, and we jump the first trap.
Yep.
So, generally, I have my – five man kind of governing, watching the goal back and only coming up when needed. If I get that trap in the corner, can I send all three guys to stop the passing lanes, or do I need to, is that too dangerous?
No, you can do that. That's a lot. Even if they get it, you're talking about throwing it in the corner where they're throwing it in, right?
Right, and so my last guy on the press is about half court at this point.
Yeah, you're fine. If they get to the middle of the court, you're done anyway, which would be what I would say. Because then you basically want to be in scramble mode at that point.
Right.
And yeah, I think that's okay. I mean, the thing is, I think you're thinking aggressive with this more than the other method that we were talking about.
Right.
So I think that's fine because you won't do this, you know, for half the game, probably. You do it for 10 possessions or something, or 20 possessions, 15 possessions. Right. So no, I think you go all out because you're trying to get, you're either trying to speed them up or you're trying to turn them over.
Gotcha.
I think are the two.
Okay.
Things.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know if that was too gambling. The fact that your last,
I don't think that's a long
up.
Way. That's 84. I mean, it's not 84 feet, but it's like 75 feet from the basket. Even if they get it out of that trap, you should be able to convert back and not give up a layup because you have that other guy back in the 2-2-1. So I think you're okay.
Right. But
yeah, I think you're okay.
Yeah, but I'm bringing that last guy up all the way to cover that last pass.
Yeah,
passing.
Yeah. But he's still your safety. He's still your center fielder, so he's going to take care of any issue.
He can sprint back.
He can sprint back, yeah. Yeah, and the thing is, you can always – I mean, it's harder to go the other way. You know, you have your non-aggressive one. It's easier to go aggressive and then go, ooh, this isn't really working. Let's go back to the other method. So I think you want one in your toolbox that's, we're coming at you, like whatever you call it, red or whatever, I don't know, number or something.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing, actually.
I have a couple other questions, but I think someone else wants to.
Yeah, I don't know. Mike's on, but he's muted. I think he's just listening. Oh,
no, I'm here.
Okay.
You guys can finish. Do your couple questions. Mine's going in a little different direction. So
okay.
You
know, okay.
Finish up with what you got.
Okay.
Okay. I just had a couple more.
Yeah. No worries.
Coach, when we were talking about our 2-3 zone, about doing much more of a matchup zone, the fact that my guys were just guarding areas and not men, does that same principle apply to 2-2-1 full court press? And also, does it apply to a 1-3-1 half court trap? Is it different?
It's a little different. A matchup like a 3-2 or a 2-3 matchup's a little bit different in the sense that you're kind of matching up. The 1-3-1, you're still matching up, but you're going to be spread out a little bit more. I've run a lot of 1-3-1, and I've never really thought of it as a matchup zone.
I mean, are you passing people on in the
we
one?
We are,
that,
we're,
in
and we're passing them
really?
Off, but there tends to be – in a 1-3-1, you can play gaps more. So you may be guarding two guys. So I think the principle, I mean, my theory is, why are you playing defense if you're not least know who you're going to guard? So there's matchup principles, but I don't think it's quite as the same as a 2-3 or a 3-2. Full court wise, again, it depends if you're trapping or not trapping. You know, when we're initially putting our 2-2-1, we're always talking about like who you guarding. if you trap, you're obviously not in a matchup because you're not matched up at that point. You're double on the ball. But when you're running your normal 2-2-1 and maybe funneling, yeah, you can – the matchup principles are always there. It's just not as pronounced as it is with a 2-3 or a 3-2. Does that make sense?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So do you yell out a call? We're trying to do more man this year, and I know that some people, whenever the ball's dead, they'll yell dead and face guard your guy. But my question is, like, if we're in a 2-2-1 press and we get a good trap, should I be having the kids yell something like choke or something?
Just yeah, you can do that. And we're even doing that. And we always call ball out when we're in man defense too. Like, who's got the ball? So I make them yell ball just so I know this guy's got the ball. So I think all that communication stuff, whatever you decide to do, is good. All of okay. It's good, in my opinion. Yes. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Choke or double, or we'll literally call trap sometimes if we're trapping. I don't care if they know we're trapping.
Cool. Those are my kind of three questions all going together, so I can step out and let Mike or
okay. Kevin. Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Mike. You said you had a different direction. Hi, Jay. Hi, Jay.
Hey. Okay. So one of your podcasts earlier was talking about like building a youth program and everything like that.
Yes.
And so me and a couple of my coaches were trying to think of, you know, what it is that we're going to do to hopefully, you know, start build one. So I'll give you a quick little background here. So we found that I coach girls. And so at a high school, we found that a lot of the girls, when by the time they get to us, like we're their like first formal, like basketball education, so to speak. Like they know a little bit here and there from whatever they got at a middle school level, but they really don't know a whole lot. And so we're really trying to work on building like a youth program within our city. Couple things, just
how big? How big's your town and how many high schools?
I'm in Phoenix. So let me, I'll tell you really quickly that the schools in our section, they have, especially for girls coaching, such high consistent turnover. Four out of the six girls coaches in our section are going to be on their third coach in 3 years. And so there's a lot of turnover. The schools within Phoenix, where I'm at in our district, consistently are like bottom in the state. And for our school, specifically the one that I work at, I'm in a magnet high school. So we get 30 to 40 different middle schools for kids to apply to come in. So, you know,
That's why I asked the question, because it's like,
they're all over the place.
So we're just trying to think of a small town in Texas. It's a little different than if I'm dealing with a big town.
We're trying to just think of not necessarily. I mean, it is obviously to benefit our school, but it just seems that in general, it's like, where do we start in terms of like figuring out what's already out there? Because the results don't seem like there's that much. So that's kind of what we're trying to bounce some ideas and some meetings in the next couple of days, figuring out.
I think that's a great idea. So, I mean, I think this is great. I think this is a great time to actually break that down. So I think this, and I'll have Jake jump in because Jake started a youth program too. So I'll have him jump in. But I think a big part of this is, especially if they haven't won and there's really nothing there, I think you have to build it literally from the ground up. And what I have found with our girls program that's been very successful is at the younger ages, you literally need to get them just involved playing. So again, I'm going to throw out ideas that I know we can't do right now, but
it's all good. Hopefully it'll pay off in the future though.
Hopefully it'll pay off. I would get to as many middle schools and elementary schools, and I would run as many clinics as I could. And I would literally make them like $5 or free. It doesn't really matter. And just try to get as many girls as possible involved. Especially because you basically got to get them hooked. I've said this on my podcast a million times. There's no street cred for a girl playing basketball. There's street cred for a boy playing basketball. Like a middle school boy in Phoenix that plays ball and is good, he's got cred. The girls don't have any. It's just not – that's not the social – that's not the way they work. So you got to build – you got to give extrinsic value rather than intrinsic. Boys have, like, both kind of going on. The girls – they need that positive input. At least this is my observation. They need that early on. And then it comes. It just clicks a little later for them. I've noticed in our program, it just clicks a little bit later in middle school. And it's like, oh, shoot, I just want to do this. This is fun. So I think you got to try to grab them early. This is probably, I hate to say it, but probably a 3 to 7 year window.
Oh, I'm sure.
this is not a 1-2. It took me five. I don't know. Jake would have to talk about his experience, but it took me probably 5 or 6 to get that machine kind of moving. But it started like I didn't start with like 8th graders going to be 9th graders. I started with 5th, 6th, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and tried to get those groups. So I think you're almost better off.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Not worrying about late middle school at this point and doing early middle school, elementary, and try to get that machine moving. And then I think they'll want to come to, they'll see all your coaches out doing this. They'll want to come to your school, which will be good, especially if you're a magnet. That would be the first thing I would do. The second thing is there like an AU program? Is there a summer program that is in your area, or is it all over Phoenix?
They're all over the place. There's not necessarily one within my area, but at the same time, all the girls that I coach, they come from all over the area too.
They do. So, okay.
You know, they're all over Phoenix. So in terms of that, there's something we could make work, I'm sure.
So that was my thought. Again, not for you, but maybe one of your assistants. Right. That maybe that's it, that, you know, especially, you know, more programs tend to flock toward the boys because there tends to be more money there. So if maybe this is, again, long-term, you could start one so that the girls can play all year round. They can play in the summer. There's structure to it. You know, they won't even have, I mean, at that age, I wouldn't even leave. You don't even have to leave Phoenix to play games probably. So there's probably enough in that area, in that metropolitan area, to keep them busy until late middle school. Jake, you jump in and then I'm going to ask Coach a couple questions. Do you have.
Just a couple things with girls. First off, you know, I built a boys program from the ground up, but I've been coaching girls soccer for the last 4 or 5 years. They're a different dynamic and they're very, very coachable. I think the most important thing when building a girls program is making sure it's fun, and the whole team building and activity thing is, so whatever you can do to make it fun is extremely important, I think, with girls in particular. Being affordable is another really important thing, is that if you can keep your costs low, that's how you get numbers in first. You got to make it basically free and have something that's different compared to other people. But other than that, it's really about self-marketing yourself. You know, what can you do to self-market yourself? You have to be a salesman. Yeah. You know, I did camps and built my program, I did like super fun, cool color t-shirts that were dry fit, like all that stuff, that all that twinkle in people's eyes. What are you going to get people in the door to play basketball? You know, is it a,
it's really about, it's real. I mean, even with boys, like I was checking in with my guys today and you thought, oh my God, I hadn't talked to them in like 6 months. They were just eating up they needed some sort of, so that's the thing. It's that relationship building. I think one of the bigger problems is to find coaches that can do that at that level, that are competent to do it at that level.
I would say that another thing is that you have to train them. You have to train other coaches to support you.
You got to come up.
It's going to take a little bit of work, but you know, like Steve and I talk about all the time in our podcast, is that you don't need a million different drills to do different things. Just create a couple good skills for each thing and go with that.
I think that's where you sit down with your coaches. This is where you sit with your coaches and you say, okay, this is what we have, you know, obviously relationships and building all that stuff is normal. But I think the next step is, what skill sets do you want for your girls?
Right.
And then that's what you have to break down. That's what's going to be my next question is, like, you know, what do you want them to get good at? Do you want them to get good at ball handling? Do you want them to get good at shooting threes? Do you want whatever skill set? And then you literally got to break it down. Here's what I want an 8th grader to be able to do. Here's what I want a 7th grader to be able to do. Here's what I want a 6th grader to do. all the way down to, you know, a first or second grader can maybe dribble with their strong hand, those kind of things.
The last thing I would say is invest in a good Bluetooth speaker. Every practice I got music going, stuff like that. It really helps with practice at kids in the middle school and upper grades when you can use music within your drills and activities and stuff. It brings a sense of excitement at that age.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think, Coach? I mean, I don't mean to be like...
Oh, no, no, you're fine. I think we're kind of on the same length. You know, our coaches and I were kind of talking about, you know, one of the things that we're going to need to do, and you've touched on it, is especially at the younger age, like make these girls like fall in love with basketball.
Yes.
Like, make them love like playing it. I'm lucky enough now that the girls I coach, they're a great team. Like you said, Jake, they're really coachable. You know, they're a great group and everything like that. I've been coaching girls for about close to 10 years now. They're a really fun bunch, and just completely different than boys, but you know, they don't come with those skills, at least where we are at, compared right. to what the boys are. And I think a lot of it is, you know, opportunities, and a lot of it is just
it is really opportunities. It's you know, I think they would do it if there was more opportunities, but it's like I hate to say it, but I can see it with my daughter, they're secondhand citizens in some respects.
And so I think that's where we're looking, like, let's try and fill that void, so to speak. Like, if there's a need or there's a want for it, if it's out there, then why not have our school be the one to put it out there for them? So I think that's kind of our mindset.
Right, and I think it can go with – I think you can do this. You can run clinics. You can run, like, even coaching clinics. Like, you know, I mean, you just want to be – especially in your neighborhood or your area of Phoenix, you want to be like, if you're a girl, this is where you're going to go.
Right.
Literally, you can't be, you're not going to be all of that probably for the entire city, but in this area, if you want to play basketball and you're a girl, here's where you go, because mm-hmm. that's where everyone's going. That's where we're learning the skills. And that, I think it's a sales and marketing thing, like Jake said, as much as, you know, skill set, fun, all that stuff. But I think the back end for you guys is like, no one cares how my plasma TV, I turn it on and it works. I don't care about the back end of it. I think your work is the back end. Like, you know, when can we do these? How can we do these? Mm-hmm. What skills do we want to do with these? Can I find some sponsors that will give out free? Like Chick-fil-A, I know if you have Chick-fil-A's in Phoenix, I'm sure you do. But
yeah,
those kind of people love giving out stuff. I mean, you know, the winner of the free throw contest gets a Chick-fil-A sandwich or something. I mean, all that kind of stuff. That's the back end. That, you know, maybe I'll get a sporting somebody's. It's going to be harder, obviously, with the world we're living in now. But all this mm-hmm. stuff is like, it's just going to take a little bit more groundwork. I mean, I can tell you from when I've run camps with little guys and little girls, I mean, literally you would think me giving them a Gatorade is like giving them a car. Like I'm giving them keys to the car. Like here's a car. Like I'm giving them a Gatorade that cost me 12 cents or 15. I mean, it's crazy. But it's all about that fun stuff. And then they'll be hooked and basketball's fun. And like, that's where you try to find maybe a sponsor. You know, you're probably going to be dealing with some high risk kids. Mm-hmm. You can get every. Ideally, when I started my youth program, I made sure everybody had a basketball. I literally took like a fifth of my camp money and bought basketballs. And there were green and white basketballs all around the neighborhood. I just wanted to get it out. So everyone was dribbling. Everyone was thinking about playing basketball. Sure. I didn't care what it cost. It was marketing in that sense. I never thought of it as marketing. I more thought of it as but I loved it when I was driving around and there's a green and white ball. There's a green and white ball. There's a green and white ball. That's, you know, boom. And half the kids didn't come to Memorial. They went to another school, but mm-hmm. it was out there, you know.
Yeah. For sure.
I mean, what do your coaches think, your assistants?
I think for them, it's hard to even like have the vision, I think, for what it looks like. And so that's kind of what we're trying to figure out is, you know, what is that sort of, what does it actually look like in practice? I think with, you know, Phoenix being as big as it is, and like you said, we can focus in on our neighborhood, but I think, you know, it's kind of, okay, you know, how do we get that going, you know, get the marketability aspect out there where we're like, we're doing these camps, we're doing these clinics sort of things, just the way to market it and everything like that. Because, you know, perfectly honestly, the other coaches I work with, they're big X's and O's guys, you know, that this isn't really necessarily something that they're super either knowledgeable or understanding about.
But you need those. Those are good.
Absolutely. But what we're finding, like I said at the beginning, is that these girls, when they come to us, their education, their basketball education is so limited that, you know, they're at, you know, fourth, fifth grade level by the time when they get to us. And so we're like, well, we got to do something. And if like we talked about, if that need isn't being met, which it clearly isn't, why not have us try and fill that void?
Do you think let's say you ran five clinics, let's say the fall opens up and you ran five clinics in the fall, do you think you would get girls to sign up for it?
Yeah, I think we could. I think it depends on how it gets marketed and everything like
and
that.
And how could you, that's the question, I think. This is the issue I had when I started, was how could I get the word out? Like,
right.
I didn't have email addresses. I didn't have mailing addresses. It was literally knocking on doors, stopping at elementary schools, handing out flyers, going to a youth football game, saying, hey, I'm running a camp. Here's a flyer. You know, it's like $10 for three Saturdays, whatever. I just want kids to play basketball. I mean, it was literally like, local politics. I swear to God, someone told me this early on. The way you win a local election is you knock on doors. If you want to be a councilman, you knock on doors. It's not like running for president. So it's the same with this camp. It's like initial, and then once you get that email address and that phone number and that address, you're home, because then you got them, because then they're in your database. But it's finding them initially that's hard.
Well, I'm fortunate enough that I did work at, for a few years, one of the middle schools that kind of feeds into our district. So I do know kind of like the athletic director or activities director for that district. And I have, you know, enough kind of connections at some of the schools in that district. It's a middle school. It's a K-8. So that might be kind of a starting place, because you know, they know me.
And the thing is, here's the worst case scenario, and Jay can jump in on this. The worst case scenario is you just hit that place hard, and then if it's good, word gets out. Trust me. Mm-hmm. I mean, word will go, like, because if I have a fifth grade daughter and she plays basketball, and all of a sudden I hear about something, it's like, you know, it's like playing the word will, it's kind of will spread. Like, ooh, you got to go to this. Ooh, you got to go to this. So, that's where your X and O coaches and your drill coaches and all that, like, yes, maybe I'll do the marketing part, but then let's come up with a really fun, good, interactive camp so they want to come back. You know, that kind of thing.
No, I agree. And the more that we've talked about the marketability part, I think that's really emphasized it for me, especially, I don't know how it is, you know, back in Wisconsin, but I know in Illinois where I grew up, it's a lot different than Arizona, where, in Phoenix, in eighth grade, the kids have their like home school that they would naturally go to, but they have the ability to go to any public or any high school that they want to. So there is already like levels of recruiting that go on to try and get kids, even in eighth grade, to go to all these different high schools. So I think what you said is good. That
right, and you're not necessarily recruiting; you're just marketing. Like
right, and just having the presence there that you said that you know, oh, girls basketball, that's associated with, you know, the school I work at, or at least it's in the conversation.
Right.
They're thinking about it.
Yeah. That's what you want. You want that like forefront. You don't always win every battle, but you'll win some of them. Anything else? Jake and I have to go do like some podcasts tonight. So for high school hoops. So.
Hey, thanks, coach.
No problem. Watch Facebook. I'm going to it's on my whiteboard here in my office. I'm going to try to find at least twice a month that I know I'm going to do it consistently over the next 4 or 5 months. Like, I'll pick a morning and probably a lunch or something. Not a morning, an evening and a lunch, to just give people different options. All right. See you.
Perfect.
Thanks, coach.
See you guys.
Bye. Right. Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like, no matter where you listen, Apple, Spotify. We love those 5-star reviews. Make sure you also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better.
Sports Social Podcast Network.